pick up your hymnal, let's turn to page number 63. Page 63.
Oh, y'all today. Hey, David, you did make it. It's good to see those pretty girls with you, too. Hey, it's good to be here. Got up this morning to a little surprise. It was had rain. I was not expecting that. And even Brother Jerry said that they got just a little bit. Oh, wait a minute, Mr. I'm glad you're here this morning. We had a good class, a good time. And if you missed Sunday school, you missed a blessing. We got a lot of stuff coming up. It's fixing to get busy, so grab a hold. Here we go. It's a fun time, though. A lot of stuff to do, and it's going to be enjoyable. Revival flyer, Centerview Missionary Baptist Church. I'm trying to place in my mind where that's at. I know it says Highway 171, but anyway, the evangelist will be Brother Raymond Davis. This bulletin will be here if you need the address. The pastor is Brother Joe Cook. If you'd like to go, that's October the 7th through the 10th. I know right exactly where it's at now. Thank you, Brother Leonard. My mind was out a different highway. Yeah, we got some good friends that go there, and their mind just left me too. But that's really bad. Faye, you know, Bill. There's too much space in between the ears with nothing in it. That's the problem.
I'm saying too much. You've got too much going on.
No. Okay. Anyway, here it is. If you would like to go and support them, well, they'd appreciate it, I'm sure. Also, we got a card here, and it says, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist, because of you, there's someone who is thanking God today, someone who appreciates your warm and caring way, someone who's remembering the special things you do and wishing you his blessings every day the whole year through. Says, I am so thankful for such a caring church. I thank God for each one of you. The party was so nice and tricky. Was a surprise. Thanks for the Cracker Barrel gift card, Brother Travis Watson. So we're glad that we could keep that secret for just a little while. And yeah, don't tell anybody. Okay. All right. Boy, there's a lot going on this morning. We'll get lined out. Our announcements this morning is the building fund offering. So the second time that the building or that the plate is passed around is for the building fund. If you don't know, the building fund takes care of a lot of things. That air conditioner in the gym, the heat is in. And it paid for all that. There's just a lot that it does. So don't neglect the building fund. We need to build it back up again now, don't we? Kind of got depleted on the air conditioning, but it's all good.
Somebody's going to have to sit between Donna and his bed.
Don't have to sit between them?
Yeah, Donna's trying to push her around.
Heavenly days. Tonight is our business meeting, so if you, I encourage you to come to the business meeting. I tell you, that's the best way to know what's going on. And I really believe in my heart that it's part of your obligation to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing with God's money. So come to the business meeting. We don't get in fist fights or anything. Okay, now this next one I'm not supposed to know about, so you can read it on the board up there. I'm not even, well, it's this Wednesday. We're going to have a surprise. Y'all come for that. Next Sunday, Cindy and I will be out of town. Brother Cody Edge, young man from Benton area, will be here. So I hope you've been praying for him and come out to support him. Then the 21st of October will be the Gideons. International, they will have a short presentation. In the past, we have just given them a donation from the church. We'll talk about that tonight. So come be a part of that as well. All right. November the 3rd, starting at 2 o'clock, will be our fall festival. That will be once again at Brother Ed and Sister Levita's house If you don't know how to get there, we'll explain as we get closer. If y'all are like me, if I tell you how to get there now, you'll forget. It's not hard to find. We enjoyed it last year, and we thank them for graciously allowing us to come back this year. We'll have, I'm sure, a hayride, and there'll be food and chili and Fritos and cheese. I'm going to bring in my own bowl this year. It's about this big. Okay? It's fun. It's fun. Plan on coming. Bring somebody with you. Okay. The nursery attendants this morning, Mary Lou and Leonard. Next Sunday will be Sam and Donna. Now, we've added this. The 105th Annual Arkansas State Gospel Singing Convention. It will be at Oakland United Methodist Church on Higdon Ferry Road. Friday, October the 9th, Saturday the 20th. Registration 9, singing at 9:30, all day singing with potluck lunch at 1 p.m. Now, if I understand correctly, Brother Travis is the president of that this year, and he is the one, him and Miss Sue, who have graciously extended the invitation or the invite. They want you to come, take a part, sing, if you will, right?
Right.
You going to let them sing?
You bet.
Okay. So put that on your calendar if you're able to attend. Any other announcements?
Page 203. 203.
This was supposed to be for Grandparents' Day, but I didn't get here. But we're going to do it now. This is about Grandpa's hands. Grandpa, some 90-plus years, sat feebly on the patio bench. He didn't move, just sat with his head down, staring at his hands. When I sat down beside him, he didn't acknowledge my presence, and the longer I sat, I wondered if he was okay. Finally, not really wanting to disturb him, but wanting to check on him at the same time, I asked him if he was okay. He raised his head and looked at me and smiled. "Yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking," he said in a clear, strong voice. "I didn't mean to disturb you, Grandpa, but you were just sitting here staring at your hands, and I wanted to make sure you were okay." I explained to him, "Have you ever looked at your hands?" he asked. "I mean, really looked at your hands?" I slowly opened my hands and stared down at them. I turned them over, palms up, and then palms down. No, I guess I had never really looked at my hands as I tried to figure out the point he was making. Grandpa smiled and related this story. Stop and think for a moment about the hands you have, how they have served you well throughout your years. These hands, though wrinkled, shriveled, and weak, have been the tools I have used all my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They braced and caught me when I fell. As a toddler, I crashed upon the floor. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to fold them in prayer. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They dried the tears of my children and caressed the love of my life. They held my rifle and wiped my tears when I went off to war. They have been dirty, scraped, raw, swollen, and bent. They were uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. Decorated with my wedding band, they showed the world that I was married and loved someone special. They wrote the letters home and trembled and shook when I buried my parents and spouse and walked my daughter down the aisle. Yet they were strong, and sure, when I dug my buddy out of a foxhole and lifted a plow off of my best friend's foot, they have helped children, consoled neighbors, delivered my face, combed my hair, and washed and cleansed the rest of my body. They have been sticky and wet, bent and broken, dried and raw, and to this day, when not much of anything else of me works real well, these hands hold me up, lay me down, and again continue to fold in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I've been and the ruggedness of my life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that God will reach out and take when he leads me home. And with my hands, he will lift me to his side. And there, I will use these hands to touch the face of Christ. I will never look at my hands the same again. But I remember God reached out and took my grandpa's hand and led him home. When my hands are hurt or sore, or when I stroke the face of my children and wife, I think of Grandpa. I know he has been stroked and caressed and helped by the hands of God. I too want to touch the face of God and feel the hands upon his face.
Shining of hearts through shadows still.
Oh, the jacket had to go. It was already too hot in here.
Can I borrow it?
Yes, sir. It's right there. You want me to bring it to you? Well, it's good to be here this morning. I'm glad y'all are all here, and I can't think of a better place to be than in the house of the Lord. This morning, I would like to strongly encourage you to do your best to be here over the next several weeks. I used to like series whenever I first started preaching, but I find that I like them more and more because the more I dig, the more I find, and the harder it is to fit it all into one sermon. And so I go too fast, I cram too much in, and this just works better. And it helps, or for me anyway, I hope it does for you. It lets me dig a little deeper and explore subjects that we need to explore in a more thorough manner. I believe this is going to be a good series for everybody. It's going to be good for young, if you're a young Christian. I mean by that, not necessarily age, but how long you've been saved. This is going to address some things that God would have you to know that if you're, you know, middle-aged, it applies to you. And if you're an older Christian, if you've been a Christian for a long time, sometimes I think that these type of sermon series help us to be able to relate to maybe younger Christians. Maybe it helps us be able to express what we believe and why we believe it when someone questions your beliefs. I'm going to start this series and we'll call it Baptist Directives. I would call it, in the past, maybe basic Bible or Baptist doctrines, if you will. It's really what we believe as Baptists. Do you know why you are who you are? You know what we stand on? Do you know our core beliefs? Do you know why we teach what we teach? These are all good questions we need to ask ourselves, because in reality this is our doctrinal statement, what we believe and why. Why are we Baptists? Why are we? It really all comes down to what we believe. That's why we're Baptists. Now, I've told you many times in the past that when I was called to preach, I went back and there were some things that I studied out for myself, because I was raised Baptist. Faithful parents that took me to church. Thank God that I was saved at an early age. And I realized that we are products of our raising to some extent, okay? But at some point in your life, you have to determine for yourself why you believe what you believe. And so when God called me to preach, I had to go through a process of saying, I can't get up there behind that pulpit and preach something just because I've heard it. I got to know that's what I believe. This that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks is at least part of that process I went through. And I've been saved for a long time, so it's good for all of us, okay? Some of these things that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, you're going to say, well, I know that preacher. Some of them are going to say, well, I knew that, but I hadn't thought about it in a while. So everybody open your minds and your hearts as we explore what sets us apart from other religious groups. Start off by saying this: religion is made by man. Christianity is created by God. Amen. These sermons are going to be on what we hold true as Baptists, why we are who we are. And hopefully when we get through with this series, you'll be able to say, I believe this because of my conviction and my study and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We're going to start this morning. Well, Russell's in the back room. I was going to mention his name. I'm going to do it anyway. I'll teach him to hide back there. If you have questions after these sermons, come to me and ask me, and if I can't answer them, we'll get Russell too. Okay? You can tell him I said that, Jordan. Biblical authority. That's where we're going to start. Because we as Baptists base everything that we believe from God's Word. And I don't care what your Uncle Jim or Fred or whoever else said, it's what God said that matters. Okay? We believe, as Baptists, that the Bible not only contains God's Word, but that it is God's Word. God gave us His book. God gave us His Word so that we could know how to please Him. You know, that's something that blows my mind nowadays. It seems like that the whole world and the culture that we live in is all about pleasing self. Well, I got news for you, friend. We were not put here on this earth to have a good time, to please ourselves, and, oh, that feels good to me. If you believe that, you're in for a rude awakening. We were put here on this earth to honor and glorify God. Now, I want you to know that when we do that, God blesses us, and we get joy in life. But we don't need to get the cart before the horse. Our main purpose here as Christians is to honor and glorify God. Amen. All right. He gave us His book. He gave us His Word that we should know how to please Him. Now, I want you to know this morning. God is the authority on every subject that touches mankind. He has the right to determine what is right and what is wrong. See, we look at things through a dark glass, if you will, because our view on life is marred by sin. God doesn't have that stumbling block that we do. He sees things clearly and precisely. And oh, by the way, He is the Creator. And so He has the authority, the right to determine right and wrong. You know, God could set up any system that He chose because He created everything that we know. And, you know, I want you to know that whenever God is ready and He sends Jesus back, all this is going to go away. This is not eternal. But God could set up any system that He so choose. But He chose to give us His Word. He chose to give us the Holy Spirit. And He chose to send Jesus Christ so that we might be saved. I want you to know that we as Baptists believe that God chose the Bible to be our rule and guide for our life. The answer to any and every question, whatever it might be, is contained in God's Word. All 66 books are written by inspired writers whom God directed. In the Old Testament, God spoke through the patriarchs as one way. Those were like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those fellows. He used them to disperse His will. Also, He used the judges. Samuel was one of those to disperse His Word, His will. He also spoke through the prophets, the ones like Elijah and many others. And also they had a written account of the law of Moses, okay, that they were to govern their life by. Excuse me. Later in the end of the Old Testament, God sent His Son Jesus so that we could have what we have today. He came here to this earth. He started His church. He gave us our direction. He gave us our charge. Go you therefore, teach and preach and baptize. Jesus, that if you don't know it, is you and I, all of us. He also came, as I just said, to start his church and to teach us how to conduct ourselves in a manner pleasing to God. God never intended for Jesus to stay here for eternity at this time. God has always planned for Jesus to come and die and to be raised from the dead and to go back into the presence of God for a season. That's where he's at today, preparing a place for those of us who've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. That's where he's at. He's getting ready to come back. I believe, and I've preached on this not too distant past, that the coming of Jesus Christ, the second coming, is imminent. That it could be at any time. He's had 2,000 some odd years to prepare this place. And if you look around at the condition of the world today, I believe that the world is ripe for harvest. Have you prepared for your eternity? That's another sermon. I don't want to get off over there and chase too many rabbits. In the time between Jesus being here and Jesus come back, God gave us his word to guide us through life. Oh, by the way, let us never forget that God's word is the final authority. If you get mad about what I'm preaching or you don't like it, you're not angry at me. You're angry at God. So think about that. In John 16 and 7, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Do you realize that now we have something that those Old Testament folks didn't have? Oh, but Jesus was there with them and part of it, yes. They had the prophets, yes. But they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we do. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God moves into you and takes up residence. He lives right in here. Jesus had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. That was God's plan. Oh, by the way, I believe that he also had to leave so that the Holy Scripture could be written. I want you to see as we go through this how much better we have it than they did. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that lives right in here. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll get there in just a second. I want you to know that in that scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us that even though he has the ability to do great works, let's just read it. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. All the things that people today could use to call someone a good Christian." That's what Paul's saying right here. But if you don't have love, you don't have anything. Listen to what he's saying. Charity in verse 4. "Suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Now, here's what he's saying in a nutshell. All the knowledge they had back then was just a part of what God had. This thing is choking me to death.
Yeah. Can't talk, sorry. May never put it back up. Excuse me. Although we have this knowledge, they did, it basically was only a part of what God had in plan. When Jesus went back to heaven, look at verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect. Listen, I believe that that's talking about two things, okay? It's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. When Jesus went back or down here, but I want you to see this as well. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of God's Word. And that's what gave us the Bible. The Holy Spirit. God in the Spirit inspired these brothers to write. And now we have something that they could never have. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we have God's written Word. When you choose to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit moves in you, you have the guidance of God when you study His Word. It all goes together. You have the permanent indwelling, the permanent residence, eternal life. It never ends. That's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ. And when God inspired these 40 men to write these 66 books of the Bible, we got the unadulterated Word of God completely spoken to us by leadership of the Holy Spirit. Here's what we got. We got God's direction for our life. We have it. I hope maybe I'm the only one here that's ever said this. Well, God, if you'll just tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it. Well, guess what? He did. We just got to read it. Do you know that in God's written Word, there are no mistakes? Zero. It flows from one end to the other with a consistency that's all about Jesus. Do you know, I'll tell you this, if you've ever read and studied a scripture and you say, this scripture and this scripture are at odds with each other, go back and study them. You've made a mistake. It wasn't God. There are no contradictions in the Bible. If you will openly, diligently seek God's direction, the Spirit will lead you to the truth. Amen? You don't have to be an ordained minister. You don't have to have seminary training. You have to have the Holy Spirit's guidance and the Holy Word of God, and that's all you need. Now, this thing of the Holy Spirit, the only reason you don't know God's direction in your life is because you haven't sought it like you should. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? It's true, though. Because we have all the tools we need if we'll just look for them. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know what God wants from you. Now listen to the Spirit. Listen to Him. He lives in you. He will never lead you anywhere except to the truth. If you're feeling like you're convicted to do something that goes contrary to God's Word, let me tell you something. You're listening to the wrong spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never do that. And He always glorifies God. Jesus Christ is uplifted by Him. Now, God has done His part. It's up to us. Okay? How do I know that? 2 Timothy 2. You can probably quote these. I know I can. In verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, I don't know about you, but when he says to study, that means more than just read. It means dig. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Study. Dig. I've told you many times that that's why I can't just start at Genesis and read all the way through, because I'll see something, it'll make me dig, and I'll go here and I'll go there, and next thing you know, I've lost track of where I'm at. You see, because the Spirit will talk to you through the Scriptures when you study. Ask yourself this. How often do I read God's Word during the week? Good question, isn't it? It's one that needs to be answered, and you're the only one that can answer it, okay? Study to show thyself approved. It requires effort. Amen. To know what God wants from you. Amen. In verse 16, it says this, and I think today this is a very important scripture, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We've got all story. Rely on God's word. I think that's what it's saying. Don't listen to all these old sayings from just people. Listen to God's word. Study it. Let me tell you, if you don't have a Bible, if you'll let me know, I'll make sure you get one. Because that is the rule and practice for life. If you want to know, if you truly want to know, if you really want to know what God wants you to do, study His Word. He'll lead you through the Spirit to the truth. Now, I've been guilty in years past of saying this old saying that I've heard, and I've had to recant it several times. The old saying was this: the Bible says it, I believe it, and that makes it so. Well, you know what? That is totally, totally false. And here's why. If the Bible says it, it doesn't matter if I believe it or not, that still makes it so. Amen. You know why? It's because God speaks through His written word. That Bible is God's word. And He is the authority. The Bible is the final authority in matters, because it's God speaking to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, when you heard the word preached by us, it wasn't our power. It was the power of God. The Bible is not the word of man. It is God speaking to us through His inspired men. Know this also. You don't have to have special insight when it comes to God's Word. Now, you might have studied more than me, and you might be smarter than me, and I sure hope that you are. But I want you to know something. God didn't reveal a secret to you that's not revealed to anyone else. At all. Because He revealed it to all that will study and seek the truth. Amen. 2 Peter 1 and 10 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Did you hear that? For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Baptist here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Believe that the Holy Bible is the holy word of God to man. You will never be able to truly understand much of God's word until you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, I just want to tell you that. There's parts of it that you will. Most of it you won't. How is that, preacher? I can read just as good as you. Well, you know what? This is a spiritual book. It is written to spiritual people. And until you have the indwelling of that Holy Spirit, till you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't truly understand God's plan. Because Jesus is the basic building block for everything that we believe. You can't build a proper relationship with God without starting on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, who does that apply to? It applies to everybody. There's no one left out. In Romans, we're told that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. Some of us are saved sinners, some of us are lost sinners, but we are all sinners. And except for the grace of God, we would remain in our sin nature for eternity. But because of the grace of God, Jesus Christ came. He died on that cross for you and me. You know how you're saved from the penalty of sin? By the grace of God, through your faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's plan. That means you and me, everyone that's ever been born, must be born again, saved by the grace of God. This Bible, this book, this God's Word that we read from also tells us that you can never, ever get into heaven or the presence of God until you go through the shed blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to know something, friend. The Bible is very plain on this. And I know that there's people out there that are teaching a bunch of garbage that goes contrary to what I'm fixing to tell you. But I want you to know something. Jesus is the only way to ever be in the presence of God. He said, Jesus himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man but by me. That's contrary to the popular beliefs that are out there today, but I want you to know something. There's only one way to please God, and that's by accepting Jesus Christ. That's what God told us in His Word. That's what God told us in His Word. And God never changes. Oh, you know, the world changes, they say. We got to change with the flow. No, we don't. It's important that we as Baptists understand that we continue to base our beliefs on God's Word, not man's direction. Jesus himself said it. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through me. He came to seek and save that which was lost. That's you and I. He died on that cross for everyone. It's one of the reasons that I love that song Gene sings so much. It's the blood. It's the blood. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, God is only ever going to hear one prayer you ask, and that's the prayer of salvation. See, you don't have a direct line to God like I do if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He's my intercessor. He's my Savior. And He can be yours too. As we study through this series, you're going to see some more of this brought out, but I want you to know that God's Word is the final authority in
all matters. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He died for you. He gave Himself for you. It's free to you and I. The Bible tells us it's a gift of God. You're not saved by your works. You're not saved by how good you are, how bad you are, or anything like that. It's because of God's grace and our faith in Jesus Christ. And it truly is a gift right straight from God. That in Ephesians. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Guess what? That makes it the absolute truth. Do you know Jesus? Well, it's in this bunch of born-again believers. I believe He's here this morning and He's working. I don't believe you're here by chance. I believe that God has a plan. I don't believe in coincidences. No. Boy, that word wouldn't come out. I don't believe in it. I believe God's plan will come out. Why are you here this morning? And maybe you need to know how to know God's will in your life. Maybe you need salvation. That truly is God's first will in your life, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? If you do, God bless you. That's the best thing you can ever do. But now you have to ask your question this. Am I doing the best that I can do to serve God? And you can only answer that, I believe, by studying God's Word. Well, I heard the preacher say it. Well, you know what? Read what God said and make it your own. Maybe you need to go back like I did and study the directives or the basic Bible doctrine. I don't know. If you do, it's not a bad thing to reinforce why you believe what you believe. And I truly believe that the Spirit of God will lead you to the truth if you'll study His Word with an open heart and mind. We should never study to prove a point. We should only ever study to learn the truth. Jesus saves. That's the biggest truth we ever can come to the realization of. And after that, God has a plan for your life. I want to ask our piano player and our song leader to come. Come with me if you would stand, please. Father, as we come to you at this time, I'm thankful, so thankful, Lord, that you saw fit to give us your Word. I thank you, Father, for telling us what we need to know to please you. I pray, Father, that you would help me to be better. Help me to do better. I pray, Father, that you convict me even of the sins that I'm not aware of. Lord, help me be a better Christian, a better father, a better grandpa, a better husband, a better preacher, a better pastor. Pray that each and every one that's here today would ask the same thing. And Lord, I thank you for giving me the tools by which I might attain somewhat better and follow your leadership. If there's any here this morning, Lord, that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, I pray that the Spirit would convict, draw, lead them to an understanding that they need Jesus before it's eternally too late. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning that know Jesus but need to dedicate their life and maybe rededicate. Lord, we have to reevaluate where we're at time to time and refocus, and help us all to do that here at Oak Hill. Lord, if there's any that listen to this over the internet and they need guidance, Lord, I just pray that you would put someone in their life that could help them to understand the truth. Your will be done in each and everything that we do here. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Page 190. Jesus is tenderly calling me.
Thank you, brother.